This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. One of our favorites of... former Philly native, John Yoo, will be here at 2 o'clock. He's the guy at the height of Gitmo and Bush Jr. that was the architect of the legal strategy. What does he think about the strategy legally with this deportation? I'll tell you this. It's obvious, and I have a whole laundry list. I'll just try to summarize them, of the actions the Trump administration is doing around illegal immigration, deportation, etc. What they're obviously doing, and I support it, they're trying to trigger the Supreme Court to get involved here. That's what they ought to be doing. John Roberts, rather than telling us we can't talk about impeachment, by the way, the judge in question, one of the judges in question that wanted to know, turn back the planes from Venezuela over the weekend. That judge out there allegedly has a daughter like Judge Marchand, who is apparently involved with far left groups. And it will be interesting to see if this is a matter of contention here. The guy who tried to block the deportation of the Venezuela gang members, his daughter works for a 501c3 called Partners for Justice that gives criminal legal aliens and gang members legal advice. Now, not the same thing exactly as Marchand, whose daughter was making unbelievable amounts of money as a Democrat operative for those groups. But here you go again, where the sympathy is. And the broader question, we all know it. And I'll ask John Yoo this. This has to be solved by the Supreme Court. It seems to be to me that it would be easy that they would decide. You can't have these district judges making rulings that affect the whole country. They should be limited to people that are mandated to be in front of them in disputes, meaning it happens in their district. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see this strategy, and then what is Trump supposed to do? Just stand down as the clock ticks off? No. Supreme Court's got to get involved sooner rather than later. And there's a whole array of things that they're doing through Stephen Miller to try to push the court to see this is that big of an issue. Jump in. Give us the guardrails. What do they have to do? The Supreme Court is on the level of the other branches, not these district judges. It's because you're a judge. That doesn't mean you get to dictate what a president elected by the country is going to be doing in executive actions. That's what this comes down to. It's pretty simple because they've gotten away with this before. It also can be done by conservative judges trying to block a progressive president. The thing is, not enough of them did that. This is rampant now. All right, one other thing that hits closer to home. I thought it was one of the best retirement speeches yesterday with Brandon Graham, who I was chasing for some time for one of our events, Dan, and I almost thought I had him. You know, these guys are very difficult to get. But Brandon Graham is an interesting story. He was here 15 years, two Super Bowls. I heard on WIP, they said he made the most important play in Philadelphia Eagles history, arguably. But that kind of discounts the great Nick Foles, who made umpteen plays, not just a Philly special. The thing with Graham I'm interested in, though, it gets to Philly sports fans or Philadelphia in general. He made the point throughout that he wasn't succeeding. First round draft pick, big deal. They took him over other people who had a notoriety in college that at least were equal or better. Andy Reid. And I remember people went wild for a while. He didn't do well. He was hurt. And then when Doug Peterson came here until now, he has been a top-notch player. And he thanked people in Philadelphia for holding him accountable. Now, we don't know deep down. Yeah, I'm sure. If it were me, I'm going, are you kidding me, these people in Philadelphia? Come on now, I was hurt. You're going over the top in what you expect. But it gets at, this guy gets it, at least publicly, what Philadelphia is all about. And it's hard for many athletes to get that. They think these people are, and sometimes they are. Here's just a little bit of it. And I wanted to ask, if you had encapsulated, not just with athletics, go beyond that. Any walk of life, politics, show business, making it in as a business. What is it exactly that you have to do here in Philadelphia that might be different than almost anywhere else? Here's what Brandon Graham said.
First, I just want to say thank you to everybody already. But y'all know I gave everything I had. Everything I had in this. And I don't have no regrets. That's one thing I tell them young boys. Don't have no regrets. And so, first I just want to say, 15 years ago, I walked into this city as a young man with dreams, big dreams, a little bit of nervousness, and a whole lot of fire in my heart. I had no idea back then when what this journey would bring. I didn't know how many times I would be tested. I didn't know how much I would grow. And I surely didn't know how deeply I would fall in love with these fans and the team in this city.
All right, now I had to be tough early on. I wouldn't say he's the most vilified ever, but, you know, he was a disappointment, a bust in the minds of some people. And this is a difficult place to be, particularly in all sports or anything else, but football, it's the worst given the Eagles. So, Henry, what were you thinking when you saw him yesterday?
Makes me sad. It makes me feel like my childhood has really passed me by because he's one of the few remaining athletes from, you know, when I was a kid that, yeah, you know, is still playing and is still someone, you know, year after year, you go, oh, yeah, Brandon Graham's on the team. I get to see Brandon Graham play, you know? And it's, and you're right. I was one of the people who was sick of him in those first few seasons. But as it turned out, he was just kind of playing the wrong position. He wasn't really an outside linebacker. He was a defensive end.
Right.
And as soon as he made that switch, things started to click. And over the years, he got better and he got better. And it's like he said, he gave it his all. That's all we ask for in this town. If you show that you're giving it your all, whether it's, you know, behind the scenes or in the game, that's all we want. If we still suck after that, you know what, maybe the team just stinks. But he did it the right way. He was a true professional through and through with it.
So I agree. And again, it's some people can give it their all. Mike Schmidt was one. I think Mike Schmidt was giving it their all. He was so good, though, best at his position ever. He looked nonchalant. He didn't look like a guy who had a grind for anything. I mean, I've been around him even today. When you look at him, he's just natural athlete beyond belief. And if you're that, we don't seem to respond too well to it. It's somebody who has some talent, but they're running through a wall type. You do that, and Philadelphia is going to celebrate you forever.
Dan. Well, I think the impact is both on field, but right. I think it's almost as valuable as things that Brandon Graham is known for doing off the field.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, and you talk about the fans here in Philadelphia really embracing Brandon Graham. I think it took a while, and I think it took a lot of the WIP show of Graham being out there talking with the fans. And on top of that, the community work. I mean, you talk about NFL Man of the Year, this guy over and over again is a candidate for that because he gets out in the community. If you were listening to WIP last night, they were doing a lot of great, you know, commemorations of his career and the things that he brought to the city. And it was call after call of individuals who had personal experiences where Brandon Graham would actually remember a figment of their life and ask about their cat by name or something like that. It was just a guy that had a great memory, knew how to interact with fans, and had just a fantastically huge heart.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, the best that I've been around of an athlete still is Nick Foles. I mean, to me, that's in my top 10 moments when we did that event with him. I should have beaten him in basketball, but I took it easy. I didn't want to destroy the myth of the great Nick Foles. But behind the scenes, he was the kindest, nicest guy in demand that I've ever seen. You just can't.
Kevin says, did you just call Brandon Graham a bust? Well, I mean, you go back in time.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's what
years
was.
Ago or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. That was a conversation.
Well, that's why he's interesting. He's interesting because Philadelphia rejected him in that situation and then grew now that he's one of the few guys, I don't know, the last one that was 15 years in one team in Philadelphia or anywhere else. It's very rare when that happens, people like it versus all the movement of athletes. So it's a good day with him to ask, as he said, what the Philadelphia area is all about. Is it too demanding? It's not just athletics. It's also any walk of life here in Philadelphia. We hear in New York, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. I think it's just as hard, if not more, in Philadelphia because it's smaller. It's more intense. New York, they have eight teams, something like that. Here, you're under the microscope. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Come on, hit us on the side, too. Somebody who really was well-known in any walk and kind of dropped away. You just don't hear them at all. John Yu, nobody better, will be here at about 1:30. And as I said, he has a history of dealing with court second to none. He was the architect. He was the architect of defending waterboarding, which I think is torture, but I supported it. Yeah, I used to grow tired, Dan, you weren't on then, of people saying, how can you say it's torture? It's just water and all. Oh, my God. Apparently, the sensations and what people tell me. But we were torturing people that we were going to use this to protect American lives. And technically, the torture's over. Psychologically, it's difficult, but we did it with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He gave up a lot of stuff. He was the architect of writing all this stuff. So this is small stuff, isn't it? Deporting people versus using waterboarding. 855-839-1210. We'll take those calls next. And again, the message from Brandon Graham yesterday was so well put, meaningful. He did address it and say he didn't like it. You know, it was difficult to take. The criticism, et cetera. But then he realized that's accountability here in Philadelphia. I can think of few people that were seen as not making it that turned out this spectacularly than Brandon Graham. It really usually doesn't happen. You know, once that happens, people have a certain image of you. How do you get rid of that image? Well, by the way, he played, and as Dan said, off the field, and just getting this area. It's got to be difficult for some people. I agree. They come here. They hear the reputation of it. They don't like it. They'd rather play in a place where people just clap at anything or don't care. I don't understand that. Here's the best place in the world to be a public figure because of the intensity of it.
Yeah. And you get revered as a god if you win.
Yeah. We had Joe Watson down at Mulligan's the last time. I've been with Bob Kelly, did an event, a remote. It was at a Catholic church in the middle. I don't know. People were still bringing drinks up somehow or another to him. This is like 25, 30 years after the fact.
People just want to buy the guy a drink.
Yeah, just
so
buy
bad.
A drink. They must have gone and gotten six packs or something. Bob, here's a six pack on the air, you know? 855-839-1210. You jump on board. Your calls are next. All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everyone. Dom Giordano Show, 855-839-1210. John Yu is somebody who's been down this road. He'll be here at 1:30 because I see the headlines today are the continuing battle with John Roberts. Amy Coney Barrett, a lot of people being critical of her. She wants to ally with Roberts. She's a miss for Trump. They don't miss theirs. You take a look at the other side, the three judges they have. They don't miss. By that, I mean, particularly on the biggest issues, they can mail it in. You know exactly how they're going to vote. And you can say, well, that's not what a Supreme Court should be. Well, that's what it is. It is political on these things, on these big issues. George Bush missed on John Roberts big time. Wouldn't stop Obamacare. I think Trump missed on Amy Coney Barrett. Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, I think, are fine. But when you get your chance, this is what's going to determine the outcome. And what the Trump people are trying to do is force this into the Supreme Court. I'm not sure if it's guaranteed they have a 5-4 there, though, given Amy Coney Barrett, where she might go and what she was sold as and what she has not been. And I'm talking about the immigration issues. And there's a whole array of them, point by point, of questions they're setting up for the Supreme Court to have to decide. All right, let me go to Ken in the Northeast on Talk Radio 1210 to start us off. All right, Ken, who is, seems to have dropped off quite a bit?
Dropped off totally on purpose, I believe. That would be Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was more celebrated, more documentaries, more awards, more even merchandise that's Dr. Fauci-esque. Where is he now?
Yep.
Well, he's trying to dodge Rand Paul. That's where he is. That's a good one. Dr. Fauci is a very good one. All right, so it doesn't have to be a celebrity. Could be any walk of life. That's what we're looking for. This is a little bit of a guy who I hope drops off. This is Cut 16, Dan. This is Congressman Mike Flood, Democrat from the Deerfield, I think it's Deerfield, Illinois. I know it's the Deerfield Elementary School or School District. Now, they're in the news, and this is the new wrinkle to how far progressives will go. Their daughters, allegedly, high school level, had a physical ed class. Not only did they have to mandatorily change with a boy, male, in biological in the room, who claims to be gender fluid or trans, but they put in the assistant superintendent to force them to do that and threaten them with all kinds of things if they did not do that. In other words, there wasn't another option. No, we don't want to do that. Go in the bathroom. No. You're going to change in front of this guy. Here's what Flood says, what he thinks about those parents complaining about it.
I support Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency.
I think that's the wrong one. I'm sorry. My fault, Dan. I picked the wrong one.
We're mixing up two clips here. So I think you're looking for
12?
Yeah, 12. A 12. Yeah, it's my fault. 12.
My bad, guys. 12. Sorry about that.
Because my colleague on the other side of the aisle always seems to be so angry. So angry. And, you know, I really was trying to wonder, why is my colleague so angry all the time about other people's kids, what's happening in other people's lives? And I realized it's because my colleague isn't working to represent his district. He's not working to benefit his economy of his community. He's not working to protect his community. He's embarrassed. He's embarrassed. And I understand. I would be too if I came to this chamber every day and I talked about issues, didn't impact me, didn't impact my community, didn't impact my area, didn't impact my businesses, but instead talked about other people and didn't help my own community, didn't help my town, didn't help my schools, didn't help the families needed the help, because I would be embarrassed if I were still collecting a per diem. Still collecting my salary, not working for my own district. I represent Deerfield. I live in Deerfield. So I'm really proud of my community who stood up for those who need to be defended and protected, making sure we have great schools, which we do, by the way, have incredible, incredible schools.
Oh, show me the scores.
Incredible families, an incredible community that has come together to deal with this situation. Because it's a lie. So the next time a representative wants to talk about other districts, again, I understand he may be ashamed, and frankly, probably should be. But instead of standing on this floor and taking our time here today talking about children, maybe try and help your own district.
Thank you, Representative.
Yeah, well, thank you. So it's a lie. Now, this is the way, and this is the tactic. They want to continue to this level, the new level now here in Deerfield. Be clear about this. This hasn't happened before in this manner where they're threatening them and they're keeping them in there that everybody's going to get changed in front of this kid. Okay? And this guy wants to say we shouldn't talk about it, but they want to shove it down our throat. Then stop doing this. We'll stop talking about it. And the tactic is, well, aren't you concerned about eggs, the economy, or something over here? Of course people are. But you're not going to get away from this issue. You're between a rock and a hard place. Your base wants this issue. You sense that. You're willing to do anything here. It is a civil rights violation. And that's what's going to happen in Deerfield. And that's why it's important. And we're not going to stop talking about it. Why would we? Why would we get away from it when it's such a big deal to you that you'll put people in there to force these girls to comply with this nonsense with no other option? Why? Because it's a big deal. And we're going to continue to do that, and you're going to continue to lose on it. Same thing as the guy at Columbia. It's not about free speech. It's his actions with Hamas. We're going to continue to talk about that, too. All right, the cut I wanted to play, though, here, back to the Elon Musk thing. Here is Congressman Mike Flood. This is 16, and he has the audacity to say at his town hall, I commend this guy. He's a Republican.
Odyssey, Dom.
His.
You said audacity, that the word's Odyssey. I'm kidding. Oh, it's okay. The name of the company. You know.
Yeah, okay. All right.
It's a bad joke.
I thought you thought there was some wordplay here with this guy. All right. Audacity or Odyssey, or both. To say he supports Elon Musk. Here's how it sounds.
I support Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency.
Those are boos from tonight in Nebraska, in Republican Congressman Mike Flood's district, which is a deep, deep, deep red district. 58 days into the second Trump presidency, and voters are furious about Elon Musk.
Okay, let's put this out there now again. we shouldn't have rose colored glasses. Are there some people that are Republican that don't like Musk? Yes. But by and large, not only is this progressive Democrat groups, but they're organized. We talked with people yesterday that are investigating this. It's widespread. Indivisible is one group. There are all kinds of groups, at some instances, even paying people to show up. So is it less suspect that in a deep red place they'd be booing Elon Musk? No, it's more suspect. That's why I don't believe these people. Some of them just are antagonistic towards Trump. That's what it's about. By the way, in Minnesota, Republicans are passing a bill to call Trump derangement syndrome a mental illness, needing mental health devices in Minnesota. And Tim Walz, I don't know if we have that cut. Tim Walz is the latest that was on with Newsom. Yeah, here he is. Tim Walz. Telling us why the Trump people don't like him, cut six.
This How notion do you fight of, it?
It's, and well, this notion of
I think
of
I can kick most of their ass. I do think they want to do it. I know I can outrun them. But I don't know if we're going to fall into that place where we want to, okay, we challenge you to a WWE fight here type of thing.
Walz telling Newsom he doesn't understand these people challenging his masculinity the last time around. The football coach.
Get him in the squared circle.
That's right. That's where we need another wrestling match. And telling us that he can fix a truck and you probably can't. So, Walz actually thinks that he's going to be the face of the Democrat Party. I can see it. He's learned the lessons of what happened here. He's going to be out there. He was even worse than Harris. Meanwhile, Josh Shapiro sits on the bench and they have this guy out there. All right, coming up. John Yoo, as I said, of Gitmo fame and just a brilliant legal scholar, going to ask him about Roberts jumping into the ring with Trump, the deportations. He's also got a lot to say of birthright citizenship, which the Trump people are pushing. The Trump people are trying to push the Supreme Court to do their job, rule one way or another. Do these district judges have the right to keep on doing this nonsense? Constitutionally, would it make sense that the Founding Fathers wanted some guy in Timbuktu ruling for the whole country? No, it does not. They got to jump in. They have to decide this. But would they decide it on the Trump side or not? Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts? You never know. All right, John Yoo's next with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it's always a treat, particularly something can't get anybody better than what we're seeing with executive power, district judges, Supreme Court, John Roberts, and President Trump, Stephen Miller, the architect of a lot of these things, to force the court, I think that's what they ought to be doing, to rule on these district judges' power over the executive. Joining us is John Yoo. Is the Emanuel Heller Professor of Law at UCal Berkeley, Philadelphia native, and Eagles fan. Not sure about the Phillies. We'll find out. Let's go to Professor John Yoo on Talk Radio 1210. John, welcome back to town.
Oh, great. Great to be with you. And hey, I am a Phillies fan, too, even probably longer than for the Eagles, which means I've suffered longer.
That's right.
True Philadelphia fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, John, you know, over the years, given your background, both as a legal, preeminent legal scholar, but during the Bush years, you have seen the inside of this executive power versus the courts. But the thing I wanted to lead with is, did it strike you as unusual that John Roberts would, he didn't name President Trump, but jump in when the president said we ought to impeach some of these judges?
Yeah, I would not have issued that statement. I think, look, John Roberts' job and the job of all those federal judges is to ignore all the things people are saying about them in the press and just rule on the cases that come before them and manage their own house. And, you know, if President Trump or senators or critics say we ought to impeach that judge or this judge, they should just ignore it. And what they really shouldn't be doing is, I think, responding right away as if they're part of the political cycle. What the Chief Justice should be paying attention to is figuring out how to impose order on all these wayward district judges all
yes.
around the country. That's what he should be concentrating on rather than trying to pick a fight with President Trump.
Did that occur at the Gitmo and the things that you were involved in where district judges were ruling on this? Or is this a more recent thing?
I mean, that did happen back in the days after 9/11, but not like this. What's been going on is, and this is different, is that you've got these district judges. Look, there's over 600 district judges in the country, federal district judges. It's inevitable that the Democratic plaintiffs or progressive plaintiffs are going to find one that disagrees with President Trump. It's just inevitable. That's not what's at stake here. What's wrong is that these judges then say, I have the power to tell the federal government what to do throughout the whole country. That's unprecedented. That's new. And that didn't happen back, you know, back in the days after 9/11, didn't happen back in the days of Gitmo. So then, back then, if you lost in district judge, then you can go right away to the appeals court, ultimately go to the Supreme Court. But that district judge limits his decision just to the people who appear before him. But now you have district judges saying, you know, not only do I get to decide whether this person shouldn't have been fired, but I'm going to order the president to rehire tens of thousands of other people throughout the country to work for the federal government again. That's unprecedented. And I think that's an abuse of judicial power. And it's really up to the Supreme Court to intervene and put a stop to it.
And by that, not through the power of whatever what Roberts can do, this would be a legal case laying this out once and for all.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, the Trump administration, you know, despite all these claims of constitutional crisis and the president allegedly thinking of defying judicial orders, no, actually what the Trump administration is doing is what you're supposed to do. They're appealing. They're going through the regular court system. And they've got a case at the Supreme Court right now because they've lost, I think, three cases about their birthright citizenship executive order where they're asking the Supreme Court right now, please take up a case so that you can order these district judges to stop running the federal government. That's the executive branch's job. They can hear a case if someone's been unjustly fired, and maybe that one individual can get their job back or get back pay. But what a judge can't do is go around and start saying the personnel policies for the entire government. That's up to the president. They can't decide which policies the executive branch is going to carry out. That's up to the president.
That birthright citizenship case, too, I've seen you talk about it in various places. How strong is it, in your view, reading the court, that they would seriously take a look at it? What would be the hurdle from the Trump position to have to get over?
I think the court will take it, actually, sooner or later, probably sooner. I think actually of all the Trump executive orders, that's the one that's he's most likely to lose. In fact, I think he said that publicly too. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. The courts will have to decide that. Our chances may not be great is something I think he said. And the reason why is because the Supreme Court essentially decided a case at the end of the 19th century called Wong Kim Ark that basically said, if you're born in the United States, even if your parents aren't citizens, you're a citizen because of the text of the 14th Amendment. I have a hard time seeing the Supreme Court throwing out a precedent that's been followed for that long. I think Trump's got much, much better chances on a lot of the other executive orders, like ending DEI, suspending some ridiculous spending programs, slimming down the federal government. I think his chances are much stronger and prevailing on those.
John Yoo with us here on Talk Radio 1210. John, do you think I'm in this camp that thinks it's an easier way, maybe a stronger way, rather than going through this Alien Act, which seems to be in disrepute, maybe, you can tell me if not, to just say these are criminals, the Venezuelan gangs, et cetera. Here are things involved. They don't have citizenship rights. They're here illegally. They at least could be deported. I don't know about deporting them to El Salvador. Is that a cleaner way to go about this? Why are they using the other strategy of this, 1789 law?
Yeah, it's called the Alien Enemies Act. It was passed in 1798. Right. And you're quite right. It's only been used during declared wars, World War I and World War II, and I think the War 1812. So Trump's really pushing the boundaries on this. You know, they have to prove in court, I think, that we're being invaded by a foreign enemy, and that foreign enemy are these drug cartels and violent gangs. They may not win on that one. The only reason why I think the administration is using this act instead of the regular immigration laws, because you're quite right, you could deport these people through the regular immigration laws. It would just, the one thing, it would take a while because you have to go through the courts. Under the Alien Enemies Act, theoretically, you don't have to have a judicial hearing before you remove them. But I think actually it's part of a more political strategy to say we're getting so tough now on immigration that we're willing to, you know, resort to these measures that have never been used before in American history to handle immigration. But I totally agree with you. You could still, even if you didn't have this Alien Enemies Act,
right,
the government could still prosecute these guys for being criminals and throw them in jail. And then when they're done serving their sentences, then deport them under the normal immigration laws.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, politically, does anybody want to stand on the Hill? Apparently Democrats do, if we went that way, of saying, no, you can't be doing that. There's something about that that's wrong. I don't see how that's defensible politically or legally.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
John, what else are you taking a look at now moving forward here? What I've seen today is that Stephen Miller is the architect, really smart guy. He's got a lot of power now in the White House. And they are, we kind of touched on it, trying to find any number of things around immigration to provoke the Supreme Court to get involved and make a decision that hardly seems like a president just trying to override the entire legal system.
Yeah, I think that this is really this idea that President Trump is causing a constitutional crisis, that he's defying the courts. I think this is all an exaggeration, really raised by his opponents, rather. I mean, I can see where there are some people who might say, oh, you know, maybe it's good for President Trump to have a fight with the courts. I don't think so. In fact, I think that the court, this Supreme Court, is going to be would normally be a very friendly forum to President Trump. You know, President Trump didn't come up with these ideas about a unitary executive, about establishing control over the regulatory agencies, about, you know, reducing spending in the workforce. He didn't come up with invent these. These are actually ideas that have come from the Supreme Court itself. The conservative majority on the Supreme Court has been talking for 20 years mm-hmm. about the president controlling all these wayward agencies and putting them under tighter control and exercising authority over them and not letting them hire and spend so wildly without presidential direction. This is a Supreme Court that should normally be on his side. So I think these claims of constitutional crisis, these are actually, I think, a sign of political weakness by Democrats. You know, if they really, you know, use real constitutional tools to fight with the president, they should be working through Congress. Congress has the power of the purse. Congress can pass laws. Congress can impeach. But they just lost in a stunning, you know, they just lost stunningly in the last elections. They have no political support in the executive branch or Congress. So their last resort, the last resort is to go to the courts.
I'll ask you this, too, as a keen observer of this, but the politics, et cetera. I'm not sure, though. I hear what you said, a friendly audience in the court. John Roberts at times, and I think Amy Coney Barrett, have you been noticing more and more people suspect of her? Do you think that's out of line?
I think this is reading the tea leaves. I mean, look at what these justices have done. You know, if they were really liberal, then Roe versus Wade would still be the law
right,
of the land.
Right.
New York City would still be able to take away everybody's guns. And Harvard would still be choosing applicants based on their skin color. I mean, this is the most conservative Supreme Court in almost 100 years. And it's because of Donald Trump. He appointed three of them in just one term. And so if you're really going to have a form that's going to be friendly to conservative arguments and a, you know, originalist view of the Constitution and a view of an energetic presidency, it's this court is going to be the most favorable one any president's appeared before in a century.
All right, we will see on that. John, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate every time we can talk with you.
Oh, my pleasure. Always great to be back in Philly, even virtually.
Thank you, John. John Yu here from the law school at UCal Berkeley on Talk Radio 1210, 855-839-1210. You heard his sense. Stephen Miller's behind this. They're trying to provoke this to get to the Supreme Court so that they can't run out the clock. And I think Democrats and the media, I'm not saying they're even doing this just ideologically. I think they've come to believe that some district judge, there's 677 of them, give or take, that they are on the same level as the presidency and the Congress. They're not. It's the Supreme Court. That's why there is a Supreme Court that is the third branch of government. It's not some judge here in Philadelphia that says, what the heck, I hate Trump, I'm going to block this for the country. Think of the lunacy of that. But that's what's being peddled. That's what they're trying to tell people. And that's why we have a constitutional crisis. All right, here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. Give us somebody who's dropped off that former path where they were really, really in play, household name, something close to it, in any walk of life. That's what we're looking for today, to get your name into the hat. Hey, I've told you for now a few weeks, and I'm thrilled how many people are signing up or at least getting all the material. Sicily on our radar screen. When they came to us, we've been to Italy twice before with listeners, but this is Italy plus. You'll fall head over heels in love with this ancient crossroads of civilization. That's what Sicily is. The Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spaniards, the Germans, they all left their cultural mark. So why not join Ro and me as we head to Europe again, Mediterranean Europe, the sun, the sea, and the unparalleled beauty of Sicily and Calabria this fall. And when we go to Europe, there's only one thing. Check that. We don't have to look around. We know we're going with conservative tours. Conservative tours. $55.44, including airfare. They take care of everything. Lavish dining events. These are true events. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Just call them now. Get the details. The website is conservativetours.com or 888-733-9494. 888-733-9494. You'll also enjoy the Godfather tour part of it. This is genius. We heard about it yesterday with Giuseppe. Visit the locales from all three movies. The crown jewel of Sicily is Taormina. Then you have the Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily. It's ancient, charming, picturesque, and always a country within a country. Savoca is one of the places I've been told will take your breath away. Why not join us? It's easy. Call now. Get the details. 888-733-9494. All right, Dom Giordano's show at 855-839-1210. Hit us with this, a relatively easy one today. I haven't had one that's quite popped yet. Somebody that just dropped tremendously from public view. By the way, Tesla has been removed as a participant in the 2025 Vancouver International Auto Show. And this is the angle. This is what they say. They say, hey, we remove them for public safety. We can't have Tesla in here. We can't be doing this because of people that might attack somebody or the cars. You see how this goes? They do the attacking, and the car manufacturer gets removed from auto shows. I mean, I let off the show today just the number of attack points that are going on with Tesla, including this website that claims to be outing everybody they can find that owns a Tesla, their personal business or home or whatever, until they prove that they've gotten rid of the Tesla. We have the Vegas thing being investigated, setting fire to all those Molotov cocktails, gunshots. Musk talking about being fearful for his life. This is where we are. This is what they're going to keep up. And they're being egged on by people like Jimmy Kimmel, who last night did a Colbert saying that, yeah, you know, it's sad, isn't it? And then waited for all the laughter. What's happening here? It's astounding. And here's a little bit of Musk with Hannity last night talking about all this.
Yeah, I mean, it's really come as quite a shock to me that there is this level of really hatred and violence from the left. I always thought the left, you know, Democrats were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring, and yet they're burning down cars, they're firebombing dealerships, they're firing bullets into dealerships, they're just, you know, smashing up Teslas. Tesla is a peaceful company. We've never done anything harmful. I've never done anything harmful. I've only done productive things. So I think we just have a deranged there's some kind of mental illness thing going on here, because this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
and I think the forces at work as well. I mean, I don't know who's funding it and who's coordinating it, because this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this.
You actually tweeted out, and I'll put it on the screen.
All right, so that's where they got to go, too. The people behind this loosely coordinated. There are groups, there are others egging this stuff on. That's one part of it. And I've actually seen some polling today. They think Musk is the thing to go after, completely unsympathetic. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter. It does two things. It reins him in, and it shows people you're getting tough. You're going after him. Even if the mainstream figures have to be more legalistic about it. We played you endlessly, Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel last night, doing the same things, laughing about this, and then lecturing us about civility. Robert M. Ben Salem is next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today.
Same here.
I'm looking into this thing with this judge who's trying to stop the deportations, and it's turning into an incestuous nightmare, Dom. He was a FISA court judge. In fact, he was the FISA court judge that approved the surveillance of Trump and his associates. When the FBI agent, Kleinsmith, was caught altering the emails that he presented to the FISA court at his sentencing, this judge gave him probation because he thought that he had suffered enough, whatever that means. But he was appointed, along with 10 other FISA court judges, by Roberts. And Roberts didn't say anything when these guys were being lied to that we know. But now that this guy's, somebody mentions impeachment because he makes this ridiculous ruling, now he's got something to say. So you said that he missed with Roberts. Bush missed with Roberts. I'd say he got a home run for the other team with Roberts.
Yeah, it looks that way. I'm a suspect of Amy Coney Barrett. She wants to ally herself to with Roberts. That's where the problem is.
I think she sees herself as the first female chief associate, Dom, and she thinks that following John Roberts will get her there.
Probably,
that's the only thing I can think of. Either that, or they really like their seats at the DC cocktail circuit, and they don't want to give that up. I don't know.
Who's your person that dropped off?
I'm going to go with, and he's not such a big star in our eyes for sure, but Don Lemon. I mean, he was.
Yeah.
Their little guy on CNN, and he made one comment about a woman going past her prime, and kapow, he's gone. He's doing street interviews now.
Yeah,
you know?
Atlantic City, we'll see him again this summer. Right, Don Lemon's a good one coming up.
Wait.
Yes.
You just said his name correct. It's been so long that
Father Don Lemon, we've lost. Yes, okay.
He's lost.
Well,
if
he gets some more cachet, I'll go back to Don Lemon. Coming up, Paula Scanlon. The University of Pennsylvania today, this is the day that Riley Gaines tied Leah Thomas in the NCAA swim meet. This is the very day. Paula was on that team. Penn, frozen, $175 million until they say, no, we're not going to have men in women's sports. All straight ahead on Talk Radio 12.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.